Today's reading is Mark chapter 10, and that's on page 1015 in the Church Bibles. Mark chapter 10, and we're starting to read at verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me!" Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me!" Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks very much, Ros. Well, it's great to come to this Sunday in the year, isn't it, when we have our APCM, our annual meeting, which, as Marcus has mentioned, enables us to look back and see how our faithful God has been at work, to look at now and ask God's strengthening and equipping, and to look ahead, seeking God's vision and guidance. So I'm going to do some of that now in this sermon, and then some in my vicar's report at the APCM. And at this point, we're going to dig into this passage from Mark's Gospel, this story of the healing of blind Bartimaeus. So let's pray. Oh Lord, we do thank you that you are a faithful, faithful God. And we rejoice in all that we have seen you do and are seeing you do among us. And we ask you, speak to us now through your word and lead us on in the way you want us to go. Amen. So if you've got a Bible, do have it open. Church Bibles, page 1050, and we're in Mark 10, the end of that chapter, verses 46 to 52. Well, as we look at this story, whether you know it well or you're coming to it afresh, we find Bartimaeus doing what he did each day. He's sitting by the roadside begging. Well, as he's there, he must have heard a noise of the crowd. And actually, I bet there was quite a kerfuffle around him. We're told in that scripture it was a large crowd. Imagine being blind and sitting there and all this is going on. And then we read in verse 47, Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. He heard it was Jesus. Jesus is passing by. Jesus is there. It is Jesus. Brothers and sisters, family of the wonderful St. Mary's Church, it is the same today. Jesus is here. God is on the move. Now, it always has been thus. Jesus is always present. He's present with us through the Holy Spirit. And God is always on the move. He's always working. That's part of his nature. He is the missional God. Even when we can't see it, he's working, as the line of the song goes. But there's something happening now. Nationally, there's currently an acknowledgement that Jesus is passing by. He is walking among us. God is at work in a special way. and I'd love to tell you a bit about that. Personally, I've probably been hearing for maybe 18 months, 2 years, of stories from church leaders of people encountering Jesus and crossing the threshold of churches. I heard ages ago about an estate in the north of England where the church shared of people encountering Jesus in dreams and coming to the church and saying, "I've met Jesus. Can you tell me more about him?" There's been story after story, and we're hearing it, seeing it here too. Maybe in small ways, but we're seeing it. People coming to St Mary's out of the blue, crossing the threshold and becoming part of this family. Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus. We are hearing and we're seeing Jesus walking among us. Jesus is passing by. He's at work here in Hollywood and Withal, and he's at work in our nation. And actually, following all these stories and testimonies, now the data, the statistics, are backing up these stories. And it's being referred to as the Quiet Revival. Interesting title. It's the title of a report that's just been published by the Bible Society. And what I'd like to do at the beginning here is just share with you a couple of stats. And firstly, to say this is a very sound piece of research. It's a comparative bit of research. It was first carried out in 2018, and then it was repeated at the end of last year. And it's a good-sized sample. We're talking about 19,000 people. And it's a questionnaire, and so people are self-reporting, so it's okay to bear that in mind. But here are a couple of the headlines. There's an increase in the number of people regularly going to church. You can see at the side there, there's an increase from 8% to 12%. That's the overall increase, but if you look along the line, you'll see that there's a particular increase in those aged 18 to 24, those known as Gen Z or Gen Z. It's also happening in other age groups. We're looking at the dark blue line being bigger than the light blue line. It's happening in the 65 plus. Interestingly, it's not happening in my age group. There are more people regularly going to church. Praise God for that. Just like Bartimaeus, we hear it is Jesus. He's here, he's passing by, he's at work. Looking a bit further at the analysis of the results, we see that in church attendance, there's a rise in the number of men. Especially again, in the ages 18 to 24. Isn't that brilliant? Young men, yeah, someone's shaking their head, I don't believe it. Yeah. Because it's God and it's great. Young men like Harry, your contemporaries, Harry, are crossing the threshold of churches and becoming regular worshippers. And there's another statistic, another different piece of research. The sale of Bibles are up. In the UK, Bible sales saw an 87% increase from 2019 to 2024, from £2.69 million to £5.02 million. Good business to be in, selling Bibles. And these data relate to each other. The statistics that young people are attending church is linked to the fact that they want to find out more about God, about Jesus. And praise God, they are doing it by reading the Bible. Here at St Mary's, we're seeing the reality of some of this data. Firstly, those of us who gave out Bibles during Holy Week attest that those that were most receptive to taking them were young people, including students from Woodrush, the high school just next door. and other things we've seen. We had a good number of people doing 3-2-1 in January. Also, we're seeing quite a few new people walk into church and become regular worshippers. We thank God, we praise him, and we give him the glory. That initial verse that Marcus used, not to us, but to you, Lord, the glory goes. Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus. Jesus walked among them then, and Jesus is walking among us now. So what might the response be? When Bartimaeus heard it was Jesus, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Bartimaeus shouted, he cried. He cried out, and crying out to Jesus is prayer. A major part of my message at this point of the annual meeting is very simple and very basic, and I make no apology for that. Let's get on our knees and pray. Do it here, Lord. More of this, Lord. Yes, please, Lord. And on this, firstly to say, I continue to rejoice and be so thankful and so encouraged that St. Mary's is a praying church. 2 prayer meetings a week, Monday evening, Thursday morning. A prayer chain, praying about 35 people when they hear of someone in need. Prayer and praise gatherings every other month. And prayer throughout the life of the church, in services, in home groups, and prayer in our lives, the individual lives of church members. It's great, but like most things, I'm greedy to see more. I want to share with you on this topic of prayer that I was helped many years ago by the vicar of my sending church, Nigel Hand, who's been here a few times. I remember it coming out of the like a bolt to me, a bolt out the blue, when he just said these 3 words, prayer is hard. It really helped me. Not because I could then say, well, it's hard. I won't bother with that then. But to acknowledge, yes, it is hard. How do I make time? How do I make a routine? How can I be disciplined? Yes, talking to my best friend Jesus is wonderful, but getting to the place of communing with him can be hard. There's a saying for us cyclists and for runners, the first mile is the hardest. Once you've got your kit on and out the door, you're going to go for a run or a bike ride. I wonder if there's something in that for prayer. I wonder if we get ourselves in that set chair or at that certain time, then we'll be all right. The first bit is hardest. We look at Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus's shout, his cry, is so from the heart. He's a man in need, and he's no doubt heard about this Jesus and heard that he can do amazing things, heard that he is the miracle man. I so want a heart that is so concerned for others, a heart that means I'm not content, but actually deeply saddened that friends, family, neighbours don't yet know Jesus and the life he offers. And from that heart to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. Have mercy. Bring people to a place of crying out for mercy and forgiveness. And you know, Bartimaeus is shouting, his prayer is risky. Let me explain that. Risky prayer. Because if you look in the passage, the crowd rebuke him. Be quiet, Bartimaeus. They tell him to pipe down. Bartimaeus is a blind beggar. The crowd are his income stream, the ones who will give to him. They're the ones, therefore, he does not want to upset. They're unlikely to rebuke him on the one moment and give him some money on the next. But nothing is going to stop Bartimaeus. Oh Lord, don't let anything stop me crying out to you. In fact, Bartimaeus shouted all the more, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He took that risk. So as I pondered and prepared this week, the question came in my mind for me and for us. What does risky prayer look like? Is it getting up earlier? Is it not watching another episode of West Wing? Yes, guilty. And giving more time to prayer. What does risky prayer for our church, our community, and our friends look like for you and for me? Bartimaeus risks the offerings of the crowd around him, which were probably just enough to live on. But he risks just enough to live on for the fullness of life that only Jesus can offer. I want to be prepared to take risks so both I and others can know the full life that Jesus offers. How about you? And Bartimaeus gets a response. He cries out to Jesus, and Jesus stops. I love those two words. May we, in our prayer times, know that Jesus stops, and we can dwell with him and he with us. And the lovely thing here is then Bartimaeus is called to Jesus, and Jesus asks him that wonderful question. What do you want me to do for you? Here at St. Mary's, over the years, you and we have cried out to God for the things we want him to do. And we've seen him answer. We've seen his wonderful faithfulness. Yes, we pray your kingdom come, your will be done. But because we seek to be so in tune with God's heart, we can ask for the things we think he will want to answer. We've been praying for a long time for more families in St. Mary's, and we're beginning to see more families, more children. We've asked God to grow us as disciples, as followers of Jesus. And last autumn, we launched 2 new home groups to add to the 8 that were already going on. That's 10 groups, 60, 70 people gathering with others to read the Bible weekly or fortnightly. We ask God to guide us as to how to serve our community when the cost of living crisis hit. And SCOF has now been running for 3 academic years. We discussed having a part-time youth worker at a PCC away day a number of years ago, and we've sought, we've interviewed and not appointed, we've prayed, and we're delighted that Sonia Nett Parker starts the role of part-time youth worker a week tomorrow. Praise God. And we give enormous thanks to God, for he has answered so many things of, what do you want me to do for you? And we can be confident of this. God will keep on answering our prayers as we move forward. Finally, in this passage, we see something else I completely long for, and I know many in this church long for, and that's to see new people become followers of Jesus. When Bartimaeus is asked by Jesus, "What do you want me to do for you?" Well, we're not at all surprised that Bartimaeus replies, "Rabbi, I want to see." Of course he does. He's a blind beggar. But do you know, the only thing that will enable Bartimaeus to follow Jesus is being able to see. Going back to the beginning of the passage, when Jesus is passing by, Bartimaeus didn't know it was Jesus. There's just this kerfuffle, this noise, this crowd around him. Of course he didn't know. He can't see. He heard it was Jesus. He was told by others it was Jesus. As a blind man, he couldn't see Jesus, let alone follow him. But receiving his sight is the one thing that he needs in order to be able to follow Jesus. And the last words in today's passage are, Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. He can now see, and so he now follows. I pray many will be healed of spiritual blindness, that they will see the goodness of God, his love, and the sacrifice of Jesus, and they will follow Jesus, not just down the road, but follow Jesus for the rest of their lives. And we not only want to see people follow Jesus, I am desperate to see transformed lives. I want to see lives that are radically changed, turned around, going from it being this to being that. Bartimaeus's life was transformed. And actually, the first signs of this transformation are seen even before he's healed. If you look at verse 50, after they say that lovely, cheer up, he's calling you. Verse 50, it says, throwing his cloak aside. He throws his cloak aside to come to Jesus. This cloak was his means of collecting and gathering his beggings. It seems that Bartimaeus, in his soul, in his spirit, knows that because Jesus is calling him to come to him, that life will never be the same again. The cloak will not be needed. No more begging. A new life awaits him. May we see many transformed lives, old ways gone, new life grasped. And you know the key thing here, brothers and sisters, is that is not just for new Christians. It's for me. It's for you. It's for each of us. However long we've been Christians, however long we've been followers of Jesus, may we have the courage to throw aside any things that are still there of an old life, any things that hold us back. Because I love the next part of the verse. Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up on his feet and came to Jesus. Have we been doing much jumping up lately and coming to Jesus in that way? Jump up on your feet, come to Jesus, for he is calling you. He is always calling us. He always welcomes us. And he's always offering the change that he can bring about. Just 7 verses in the Gospel of Mark. A great account of healing, for he is the miracle worker. But so relevant for us today as we come to our APCM. Jesus is here. Let us cry out from the heart and let's engage in risky prayer. And may we see many come to know and follow Jesus. And may we see many lives transformed, including our own. For then the Lord will be growing and refining his church, ready to be his bride. Amen.